ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் வ்யாஸ சங்கர மத்யமாம் அஸ்மி தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்வரூபாய ஸ்ரீ தயானந்த ரூபாய பரம குருவே பரமாத்மனே. ஓம் ஆப்யாயந்து மமாங்கானி வாக் ப்ராணஸ் சக்ஷு ஸ்ரோத்ர மதோ பலமிந்த்ரியாணி ச சர்வாணி சர்வம் ப்ரஹ்ம உபநிஷதம் மாஹம் ப்ரஹ்ம நிராகுர்யாம் மாமா ப்ரஹ்ம நிராகரோத் அநிராகரணமஸ்த்வ நிராகரணம் மே அஸ்து தாத்மனி நிரதேய உபநிஷத்ஸு தர்மாஸ்தே மயி சந்தோ தே மயி சந்தோ. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. பிஃபோர் ஐ மூவ் ஆன் டு தி வெரி நெக்ஸ்ட் செக்ஷன், ஐ வாண்டட் டு ஹெல்ப் யூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் it is differently the anatma. So there's a different ways of negating anatma and arriving at the atma. In subject object analysis, so we say the reality has to be arrived at as the swarupam of the knower, therefore distinguish the subject, the knower, from the known, and thereby negate the anatma as the known, and you arrive at the subject, then you arrive at the reality as the swarupam of the subject. Then we have panchakosha prakriya. In the same way, you see how every kosha, every layer of personality is also resolvable its corresponding total, and thereby simultaneously resolving the every layer of personality in its corresponding total, you arrive at the reality in panchakosha prakriya. Similarly, in avasthatriya prakriya also, you analyze each state of experience, and the experiences change, but still you arrive at the reality through the swarupa of the experiencer, who is invariable in all the three states of experience. Like this, we have different methods of unfoldment, using which you arrive at the reality as one's own swarupa. Similarly, here one more way is there, that is arriving at the reality as the nirguna atma, attributeless, guna rahita, attributeless, propertyless atma, which is distinct from the gunas. So nirgunaha atma, gunatitaha atma. So arriving at the atma as the gunatitaha, understanding the three gunas. Understand three gunas. What these three gunas are, how these three gunas are, and thereby, by way of understanding the gunas themselves as the stepping stones, arriving at the atma, which is distinct from the gunas, as the guna atitaha, as the nirgunaha, is also another way of arriving at the reality. So through the gunas, negating the gunas, using the gunas as a stepping stones, arriving at the guna atita atma, anirguna atma, implies understanding of the very gunas first. And to understand the gunas, first of all, I want you to understand the meaning of the word ahankaraha first. See, all the time we have been talking about ahankaraha, ego. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam and all you have differentiated. In the context of the manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, there you understand ahankaraha as just the knowledge of the self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. You understand it as ahankaraha. In the context of the understanding the antakaranam, today you are going to understand the ahankaraha thoroughly. In the context of the antakaranam, what is ahankaraha? When you say manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, there ahankaraha means just the knowledge of the self, existence of the self, obtaining in the form of thought, in terms of I am, and which is looked upon as the dead end of the mind, itself is ahankaraha, just the knowledge. Knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining of a thought in terms of I am, itself is what? Ahankaraha. Then, I gave another, you understand ahankara in a different way also. Any wrong notion you have about yourself, any wrong notion an individual entertains about one's own self, in terms of I am small, I am inadequate, having identity with the body, mind, sense complex, taking the anatma, body, mind, sense complex for the self, and the superimposing, having superimposition of the limitations of the anatma upon the atma, any conclusion you have about yourself, any notion one has about oneself, is an erroneous notion. Again, erroneous notion obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am, already I am, and you add anything else. I am small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am a woman, I am a man. Anything and everything, any notion you have about yourself is looked upon as erroneous notion about the self, which is also called ahankaraha. We are using ahankara in three contexts. The wrong notion you have about yourself is ahankara. When you understand the mind, there the thought, the knowledge of the self, existence of the self, obtaining a thought in terms of I am, is also what? Ahankaraha. So wrong notion also is ahankara about yourself. Adding anything to that I am is ahankara. Now we are going to understand ahankara differently. See, Ishwaraha, the total, consists of two aspects, consciousness and matter. Two aspects alone constitute the Ishwaraha, the Lord, the whole. And these two aspects are inseparable, two orders of the only reality, as Satyam and Mithya. The beauty is the inseparability of these two aspects has to be understood thoroughly. And these two aspects, consciousness and matter, alone are implied as para prakritihi and apara prakritihi in one chapter of Gita, purushaha prakritihi in another chapter, 13th chapter, brahma maya in Upanishads. And these two aspects, in fact, can be looked upon as male principle and female principle. புருஷ தத்துவம் மாயா தத்துவம். So consciousness is neither a man nor a woman. Maya is neither a man nor a woman. But we look at consciousness as a male principle, Purusha Tattvam, and Maya as Maya Tattvam or Prakriti Tattvam. And these two aspects are inseparable. And here this consciousness, which is Para Prakriti, which is Purusha Tattvam, is Nirgunaha, is of the nature of attributelessness, free from attributes. If you take it as a Purusha Tattvam, you can say Nirgunam. Whereas Prakriti Tattvam is Sagunam. Prakriti Tattvam is Sagunam. It has properties, constituents. In terms of Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. Three properties, three constituents. So Prakritihi, Prakriti Tattvam or Maya Tattvam, the matter principle is Sagunam, whereas Purusha Tattvam, the consciousness is Nirgunam. Then consciousness is Nirvikaram. So Purusha Tattvam, the consciousness principle, is Nirvikaram, is changeless, is of the nature of changelessness. Whereas Prakriti Tattvam, the matter principle, is Savikaram, is of the nature of undergoing changes, Sagunam. So Savikaram. So Nirgunam, Sagunam, Nirvikaram, Savikaram. Then this consciousness principle, the Purusha Tattvam, is of the nature of Purusha Tattvam, is of the nature of consciousness or knowledge, whereas Prakriti Tattvam or Maya Tattvam is of the nature of inertness. You can say Chetana Chetanam or Chetana Jada. Purusha Tattvam Chetanam, Prakriti Tattvam Jadam or Achetanam. And Purusha Tattvam, the consciousness principle, is independent. It does not depend upon anything else or its existence, especially Maya Tattvam. Therefore, it is independent. We say this is Satyam, whereas Prakriti Tattvam is dependent on the Satyam for its existence, therefore it is Mithya. The four factors you have to do, Purusha Tattvam and Prakriti Tattvam, nothing but consciousness and matter. At least you, three you have to, you can remember, Nirgunam, Nirvikaram, Satyam. And the matter, Sagunam, Savikaram, Mithya. So these are the difference, these are the three, four main difference between Chetanam, Achetanam. Also can include the four difference between this Maya and Maya Tattvam or Prakriti Tattvam and Purusha Tattvam. And here, if you go to next step, so consciousness principle, being Nirgunaha, Nirgunam, Nirvikaram, Chetanam, you know, Satyam, it is in Vedantic parlance technically known as Sakshi. Sakshi Chaitanyam, Sakshi Chaitanyam. The Sakshi Chaitanyam is the higher nature, Para Prakritihi. Now, if we take the Prakriti Tattvam, which Prakriti Tattvam? Achetana, Jada, Saguna, Savikara, Mithya. You can put all this achetana or jada, saguna, savikara, mithya, prakriti tattvam. The matter principle, which is of the nature of inertness, or you can inert, changeful, mithya, prakriti with attributes. These are the inertness, mean inertness. And this prakritihi, with reference to an individual, prakritihi is in the form of the body, mind, sense complex. Anatma as anatma. So, whatever is Ishvara, whatever Ishvara has, the same jiva individual also has. So, Brahmande yadasti tadeva pindande api asti. Whatever is there in the Brahmanda alone is there in the pindanda. So whatever is there as Ishvara the total, the same must be found in an individual also. So from here we go to move on to the next step. Every individual also consists of these two aspects alone. Consciousness principle, known by the term Atma, or matter principle, known by the term Anatma. These two aspects, Purusha Prakriti, are there in every individual also, is a combination of, mixture of these two aspects. And this consciousness principle is called Sakshi Chaitanyam in an individual. Purusha aspect of Ishvara obtains as the Sakshi Chaitanyam in an individual. I'm repeating it. What is technically in Vedantic parlance known as Sakshi Chaitanyam is nothing but the Purusha Tattvam of the Ishvara. And the Prakriti Tattvam of Ishvara alone is here as Anatma, body, mind, sense complex, an individual. So this physical body is inert, definitely as a matter, as the product of the prakriti, as the material product is in of the nature of inertness. But how does this physical body, the physical body does not have sentiency of its own, consciousness of its own, but how does it become conscious and sentient? How does it become alive? And not only that, we also have the mind. The mind also is a subtle material product only. And this inert mind also becomes conscious and sentient, which means the being material products, body, mind complex, being material products, being Prakriti Karyam, being the Prakriti aspect, it cannot, does not have sentiency, consciousness of its own. But now they are, it's alive body, alive mind. Therefore, now this alive body, mind, sense complex. What makes it alive is the consciousness and sentiency. How does inert body becomes a conscious body and a sentient body? The sentiency and consciousness do not belong to the Prakriti. But as individual body, mind, sense complex, it enjoys it now. We say it has a borrowed consciousness. The body has a borrowed consciousness and borrowed sentiency. This borrowed consciousness or sentiency, in other ways called chidabhasaha. You can call it reflection of consciousness or manifestation of consciousness. Not the pure consciousness, not the original consciousness, but the reflected or manifest consciousness obtaining the part of the prakriti aspect of the individual in terms of body-mind complex, is called what? Chidabhasaha. Chit means consciousness. Chidabhasaha. Now we have three factors. Pure consciousness, the Purusha Tattvam, obtaining as the Sakshi Chaitanyam, an individual, is the Para Prakritihi. And we have the manifest consciousness, because of the which alone the inert prakriti products, material products, body mind complex becomes conscious and sentient. Because of the which body mind complex is alive. And that is what Chidabhasaha, manifest consciousness. We have original consciousness, pure consciousness, then manifest consciousness, then we have this body-mind complex which is serve as manifesting medium. Now we can say this manifest consciousness or reflection of consciousness, then mind with this manifest consciousness and a conscious body, conscious mind and manifest consciousness called Chidabhasaha, all of them together can be known by one word in Vedantic parlance, Ahankaraha. This I never told you before. Manifest consciousness or reflected consciousness, the reflecting or manifesting medium called mind and the physical body, the conscious body, conscious mind and the manifestation of consciousness or the reflection of consciousness, otherwise called Chidabhasaha, together Chidabhasaha, conscious body, conscious mind, body, mind, complex together, can be known by one word, Ahankaraha. Now we can say Prakriti and Purusha, two factors which constitute, two aspects which constitute Ishvaraha, are here known at the individual level as Sakshi and Ahankaraha. Sakshi means a pure consciousness, original consciousness, and Ahankaraha has what? Ahankaraha is not just the body-mind complex, Chidabhasa Sahita. Okay, the conscious body-mind complex with the reflection of consciousness. A reflected reflection of consciousness, not the pure consciousness, is called Ahankaraha. Sakshi Ahankaraha at the individual level is equal to Purushaha Prakritihi at the total level. And here, the Sakshi Chaitanyam is Nirgunaha, Nirvikaraha. Sakshi Chaitanyam is Nirgunam, Nirvikaram, Satyam. The very word Chaitanya is already there. Whereas this Ahankaraha, reflection of, with reflection of consciousness called Chidabhasaha, is all what now? Ahankaraha is Sagunam, Savikaram, Mithya. Because it is conscious and inner, conscious and sentient, you may feel like saying Sachetanam, no. But still, Sagunam, Savikaram, Mithya. Now, of these two aspects, it is called Mithya, it is Ahankara. Sakshi is a higher nature, superior nature, greater nature, whereas Ahankaraha, now the word Ahankara meaning is completely different. Ahankaraha, one word stands for conscious body, conscious mind, body mind complex with chidabhasaha. You had include chidabhasa, reflection of consciousness. Together is ahankara now. Of these two aspects, sakshi and ahankara constitute the individual. Every individual is a combination, mixture of these two factors, sakshi and ahankaraha. So which is the higher, superior, greater nature? Sakshi is higher nature of an individual, para prakriti. And ahankara is the lower, inferior nature of apara prakriti, an individual. So it is said in the Shastram, now which aspect of the individual should be taken as I, which should be identified with, ahankara or sakshi? Sakshi. So this is saguna savikara jada mithya ahankara. From the ahankara, one has to shift one's identity with to the sakshi. One has to shift one's identity from sagunam to nirgunam, savikara to nirvikara, achetana to sachetana purusha tattvam, mithya to satyam. This is another way of arriving at the Atma, the reality. The negation of the matter is done a different way. But as long as one takes ahankara for the self, Atma, and samsara will be there continuously. And this anatma is vulnerable to samsara. Anatma is subject to samsara. Therefore, to free oneself from bondage, one has to see which of these two aspects should be identified as the self, ahankara or sakshi. This is what I want to say. Mainly, the word ahankara, you had different meaning all these days. And I didn't want to tell you before. It should be told before. So how you understand which all context you use the word ahankara? Definitely, just only knowledge of the self, existence of the self, obtaining in the form of a thought as the lost thought of the mind, without which no other thought can be there, that alone is looked upon as ahankara. When you analyze the mind as manaha, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. Otherwise, and anything you add to I am, any expression revealing your identity in terms of what you are, whatever you add, which is expression of the wrong notion you have about yourself, any individual entertains about oneself is also called ahankara. And here, in a different understanding ahankara, the prakriti aspect of the individual, prakriti, the matter aspect of the individual, obtaining as the conscious body, conscious mind, with reflection of consciousness called chidabhasaha, together is known by one word, ahankaraha. We look at this whole body, mind sense complex, and with the chidabhasa as ahankara, then in that context, Purushatattvam is technically called Sakshi Chaitanyam, Sakshi. So Sakshi, Ahankaraha, two aspects constitute the individual. The Sakshi happens to be the Purusha aspect of the individual, and Ahankara happens to be the Prakriti aspect of the individual. These two aspects constitute individual. Now how to shift? And here only use the gunas. Understand these gunas. To shift the identity from ahankara to sakshi chaitanyam, the shastram teaches the method. All the three gunas can be used. You cannot distance, throw away, get rid of three gunas. The three gunas, if we know how to make the best use of three gunas, gunatrayam, then properly using them, if you know how to exactly handle them, then we can enjoy them, and using these three gunas, obtaining in the form of ahankara, the conscious body, conscious body mind's complex with the chidabhasa, we can make use of them, and then using them as stepping stones, we can arrive at the nirguna guna atita atma. Through the gunas, we can arrive at the nirguna atma if we know how to handle these three gunas properly. If we do not know how to handle these gunas, then we'll be afflicted by the improper use of gunas, the samsara will never come to an end. It is typically like anything and everything in the world. If we know how to make use of the fire, how to make use of the electricity, all these things actually in water, everything, if we know how to make use of the water, we know how to handle the water, how to handle the fire, how to handle electricity, then we can enjoy even food for that matter, annam also. You know how to handle the food, how to use them. If we eat enough, then it is a life-giving medicine. If you overeat, or if you eat wrongly, then it becomes a poison. So water also, if you know how to use it carefully, it's a life-giving medicine. You don't know how to use it, you pour it in the nose, finished. So also fire, so also electricity. We should know how to handle. If we handle them properly, we can enjoy the benefit of using them. Enjoy benefit of having them. Or you don't know how to handle them, we will not be able to enjoy the benefit of having them. Listen, we'll become victims of the problems caused by them. So they can become the cause for the problems if we do not know how to handle them. If we know how to handle them, we can enjoy the benefit of having them. So it's all depend upon how we maintain. So we cannot undo them, we cannot get rid of them. So therefore, here the three gunas also, if we know how to handle, how to make use of them properly, appropriately, then we can have the benefit of having the ahankara in the form of body, mind and siddhabhasa. If we do not know how to handle them, then we'll become the victims of the problems caused by them. Therefore, to understand now how to handle them properly. So, analyzing the gunas, analysis of the gunas. How Hari Tattva Bodha, you understood what Jiva Vicharaha, inquiry into the nature of the individual. Vyashti Vicharaha, Jiva Swarupa Vicharaha. The same way here, Guna Vicharaha, Triguna Vicharaha. Analysis of the Trigunas. Negating the Gunas to arrive at the Nirguna Atma, we have to do the analysis of the gunas or gunatraya vicharaha. We understand five factors, five things, five facts in this gunatraya vichara. What are the five facts we understand in this analysis of the trigunas? First thing, we have to understand, what these three gunas are. What these three gunas are is called gunatraya lakshanam, or definition of the three gunas. Then second factor, factor we need to understand is how these three gunas cause the bondage, how they bind, contribute for bondage. So, trayaha gunaha katham badhnanti, how do they bind? Or you can say bandhana kramaha means the mode of bondage, how the three gunas bind us is the second factor we need to understand. That is how each gunaha, sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha, how they contribute for bondage if we do not know how to handle, how to make use of them properly. Then the next factor we have to understand is to discover the clue which serves as an indication to find out the predominance of the guna in me. Which guna is predominant in me? I am of which nature? Am I sattvic? Am I rajasic? Or am I tamasic predominantly? To know one's, the predominance of guna in one's own self, how to know? No, you need some clue, some indication. That is, no, understanding the indication or the clue to find out the predominance of guna in oneself is the third factor. And the fourth factor we may not be interested is in what is the gati we will have, what is the gatihi we will have after death in keeping with the predominance of the guna we have. At the time of death, throughout the life, how you live doesn't matter. At the time of death, are you predominantly sattvic or rajasic or tamasic? In keeping with the predominance of the guna at the time of death, our destination after death also will be where we'll end up. Leaving this physical body, then where will we go? Where shall we go? What will be the next? No? That is also predetermined by the predominance of guna we have at the time of death. That's the next factor. So also the next last one, the benefit or the consequence of predominance of each gunaha. So these are the five factors we need to understand for making the best use of three gunas as steps, stepping stones to overcome the gunas and to shift out to arrive at the nirguna atma. Gunatraya dwara nirguna guna atita atma praptihi. In terms of knowledge, attainment of nirguna atma through the gunas in terms of knowledge. For that, we need definitely these five factors we need to understand. So today you have got a different understanding of the word ahankara. So ahankara, when it is used, in which context it is used, in which sense, you would understand very, very, very careful hereafter. The whole anatma entire anatma of the individual, including the chidabhasa, is what? Ahankara. And the pure consciousness alone is sakshi. These two together, together constitute the individual. Now, first, if you understand what is the sattva gunaha, what is sattva gunaha? Sattvam, rajas, tamas. We have these three words: sattvam, rajas, tamas. Rajas and tamas, akaranta shabdas. Sattvam, akaranta shabda. Sattvam, rajas, tamas. Or you can say sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. So Shankara says sattvaha prakashatmakaha, rajas ragatmakaha, tamas mohatmakaha. The three definitions are given. All these three gunas have to be understood in terms of the disposition of the mind. Manadin nilayai vaitthudan gunangalai purundhu kolla vendum. You cannot see the gunas, hear the gunas, smell the gunas. There's no way of understanding the gunas. Three gunas are the names given to three different dispositions of the mind. Therefore, three gunas have to be understood in terms of the disposition of the mind. So, the Shastram says, at the time of, during Pralaya, before the creation comes into existence, all the three gunas remain as one power. They remain in equilibrium. They remain in equilibrium means they are in equilibrium means the proportion of the gunas remain the same. And we say samya avastha. In pralaya, gunas remain in equilibrium. That gunas remaining in equilibrium in same proportion is called samya avastha. So at the time of pralaya, we cannot make out who is sattvic, who is tamasic, who is rajasic. Why? There is a samya avastha. They remain in proportion when they are in equilibrium. When the creation gets ready to come into existence, or when the creation emerges, universe emerges to come into existence, then this equilibrium is disturbed. The stillness is disturbed. When once the creation comes in, the universe comes into existence, the equilibrium is disturbed. The proportion does not remain the same. And this is called Vaishamya Avastha or Vishama Avastha. From the Samya Avastha, there comes the Vishama Avastha. Vishama Avastha of the Gunas. Gunanam Srishtau Gunanam Vishama Avastha. Vishama Avastha. Pralaye Gunanam Samya Avastha. During Pralayam, there is a Samya Avastha. During Srishti, after Srishti, there is Vishama Avastha. Which means everything in the creation, the elements, the elementals, living beings, non-living things, birds, worms, human beings, everything in this universe has three gunas. Which means the proportion may vary. The percentage of these three gunas will vary. Even the most inert things, all the planets, all the, you know, everything in the universe will have the three gunas. There's nothing, so the whole jagat is nothing but gunat Traya Rupa. Dholva is Gunatraya Rupani. All three gunas are there in everything. But the proportion varies. Which is predominance in what? That is different. Now what is Sattva Gunaha? So she says, Sattvam Ahatva Gunaha is the particular property, guna, which makes a human being highly cognitive, an intellectual. It is the predominance of Sattva Guna, the guna which makes the person inquisitive, curious, interested in knowing, having, some people have a thirst for knowledge. So, naturally inclined for knowledge, knowing things. It need not be spiritual knowledge. Any interest in knowing things. Knowing more and more and more things. In fact, to discover more and more subtle facts, even within the realm of science also, one must be highly sattvic, predominantly sattvic. Even to be inclined for study in mathematics and physics and all that, subtler the sciences, one must be predominantly sattvic to be inclined for those subjects. Generally, we say sattva gunaha makes the individual highly cognitive and intellectual. The person must be given to analyzing and all that. So, Shastram calls this person Jnana Pradhanaha. Jnana Pradhanaha Purushaha. It means the one who is highly inclined for knowing things, knowing subtle facts, is called Jnana Pradhanaha Sattva Gunaha. Sattva Gunaha Jnana Pradhanaha. So this person who, because of his more interest in knowing things, naturally he is introverted person. This person who is predominantly sattvic will not be that social also. Can't afford to be very social. Being friendly is different from being very socially inclined. So it also says, Shastram calls it Nivritti Pradhanaha. Therefore, Asanga Pradhanaha. So Sattva Gunaha, Jnana Pradhanaha, Nivritti Pradhanaha, Asanga Pradhanaha. Whereas, the person in whom the predominance of Rajas, he will be highly active, dynamic. So you can see the people who talk a lot, if a person cannot talk much, then they have to do something or the other. All the organs of actions must be very, very active. You can see the person in whom Rajas is predominant, his organs of actions will be very, very busy. Whether he must be talking or he will be doing something or the other. So activity, we can say karma pradhanaha. So rajoguna is karma pradhanaha. Therefore, very busy, but pravritti pradhanaha. So sattva gunaha is jnana pradhanaha, nivritti pradhanaha, asanga pradhanaha, I said. Now we say rajogunaha, karma pradhanaha. Therefore, pravritti pradhanaha, lot of activities. Therefore, sangha pradhana, lot of association, interactions, meeting, contacting. So, sangha pradhana. So, sangha, pravritti, karma pradhanaha, rajogunaha. Jnana, nivritti asanga pradhanaha sattvagunaha. Jnana nivritti asanga pradhanaha sattvagunaha. Karma pravritti sanga pradhanaha. Sangha means association, pravritti means activity, karma again action. Pradhanaha rajogunaha. Then what about tamogunaha? Tamogunaha is, in fact, it is not, tamoguna is neither the jnana pradhana nor karma pradhanaha. If it is not karma pradhana, jnana pradhana, then what is it? Karma, this tamoguna is inertia. I mean, there will be suppression of both jnana indriyani and karma indriyani. So, first of all, each guna has to be understood as defined. Therefore, the gunas cannot be seen. Gunas have to be understood only in terms of their expression. How are they expressed now? In terms of gunas have to be understood through their expression in terms of mental disposition. You have to know your own mental disposition to know what is the predominant guna in you. So here, it is very natural for one to be tamasic. So the whole day, we may have three gunas. Every individual is a combination of three gunas. But what is the predominant guna in a person? That will tell you whether a person is inclined here or not. So here, for any jnanam, one must be predominantly sattvic. And definitely, this even for this atma jnanam, to arevatti nirguna atma also, one must be predominantly sattvic. Therefore, here Shastram says, one cannot overnight become a sattvic person overnight. For a mumukshu, for a jignasu, it is very important to become a sattvic, predominantly sattvic. So what is sattvic here? The disposition of the mind. To become predominantly sattvic, one has to become predominantly rajasic. A tamasic person cannot become sattvic. Tamasic has to become rajasic. Then from being rajasic, one has to become sattvic. Then from being sattvic, one cannot become nirgunaha. One cannot become nirgunaha. If you have predominantly sattvic minded, it is easy for you to discover the nirguna atma. The conversion cannot happen. From sattva, predominantly sattvic person cannot become nirguna atma, but he can discover the nirguna atma. But the tamasic person has to become rajasic. Rajasic person has to become sattvic. Overnight one cannot become sattvic. The karma kanda is voluminous portion mainly because one has to perform actions. Pancha maha yajnas, etc. Karma yoga is emphasized for what? To make a tamasic person rajasic, karma yoga is prescribed. And rituals are prescribed. Other activities are prescribed. And then to make a person do, again, always we need some incentive. You must have some gain must be mentioned also. What will you gain by doing something? It is typically like giving a chalk and making the child do the homework. Shastram also gives, you know, really talks very highly of the results of rituals, etc. in the Karma Kanda. In fact, it works like a big advertising company. Now, lots of benefits are mentioned. Why? Just the person, the desire has to come for results. Any advertisement, in fact, will drive a person what? From being tamasic to rajasic. In a way, IKEA also makes lazy people active. Because I will go there. You have to go, see, buy. Always knowledge of things, the more you know, only then the desire for objects is possible only if you know. Therefore, to know what is available, lots of descriptions of fruits are mentioned in Karma Kanda. So the desires will rise in the mind. When the desire comes, you will become active. See, even desires has to be created by the Shastram to make you active. Finally, Shastram is going to say, you have to resolve the disease. But initially, disease have to be given like antibiotics. Disease have to be created in you to make you active. Because you are not inclined for jnanam. You are nowhere near the jnanam. So disease have to be created in a person. Therefore, lots of results of actions are also advertised and highly glorified. So the person will have disease, then he will perform goal for performing actions. The person who is predominantly tamasic can be converted into a rajasic person. Here, conversion has to take place. Then the person who is highly rajasic, and slowly he has to calm down. He'll become very active. The sleeping person has to be woken up. Then he'll become very active. Again, we should teach him how to calm down. He'll become a workaholic. Then again, upasanam comes. Upasana, meditations. And slowly. And then when he calms down a bit, then he's ready for jnana yoga. Karma to upasana, upasana to jnanam. To convert tamasic into rajasic, rajasic into sattvic. One become a sattvic person, the sattva pradhanaha purushaha, the person who is predominantly sattvic is the one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications. Thereby, who can enjoy the benefit of knowledge born out of Shravanam. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. And once Jnanam he has to have for him to discover through the Shravana Jnanam, he can discover Nirguna Atma. He need not even attain. He can take ownership of Nirguna Atma as his Sakshi Chaitanyam, as his self. He can shift the identity from through Shravanam. When the person becomes Sattva Pradhanaha, that is when he is qualified for Jnanam, then Shravanam will be effective for him. Through Shravanam alone, he has to attain Jnanam. Here, from Sattva, he cannot be converted. Tamas to Rajas, there's a conversion. Rajas to Sattva, there is a conversion. But Sattva to Nirguna, there is no conversion. There is Jnanam. He need not become Nirguna. Once he becomes Sattvic predominantly, then he is qualified for Jnanam. Then Shravanam will be effective. Thereby, he can discover, he can shift his identity from Ahankara to Sakshi Chaitanyam, where he can take Chaita, pure consciousness as, take ownership of consciousness as the very self. It's called shifting from Ahankaratu Sakshi, using the Trigunas as stepping stones by arriving at the Nirguna Atma. So some people may be, you know, predominantly Sattvic, we can say Sattvika Ahankaraha. Predominantly Rajasic means Rajasa Ahankaraha. Then Tamasa Ahankaraha. Three Ahankaras are there or what? What is it? Now you know what Ahankara means. In fact, these five factors which I told you, the definition of gunas, the predominance of it, even if you do not attain jnanam, because the whole life living a life of karma yoga, a worshipful, prayerful, righteous life and all, definitely won't become predominantly sattvic, at least the time of death, even if you have not yet discovered the Nirguna Atma also, predominantly sattvic means that the next gati will be a better gati. That is why always, nobody should remain idle, lazy at all. Something or the other one must be doing. Look at this. If you understand this one, now you can understand how wrong and bad it is for young boys to go and get the money from the government. Now getting the government benefits without doing anything, they sit and enjoy because they're jobless. If they're given the money, they need not starve. They can be given food, they can be given some help, but they must be made to do something or the other. Without making them do any work, simply giving them money, you are aggravating the inertia. Inertia is aggravated. You are even making the little rajasic person into more tamasic person. Anyway, why I am talking to this? This will be helpful in understanding the later lesson which I am going to do in our Chandogyam. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.